we follow certain formats. Like, when we drive on the road, it's important to follow the format of, you know, like my favorite, slower traffic, keep right. It's not just a good idea, it's the law. But more importantly, like, stop at a red light, and when the light's red, and go on green. But praise God that when we're in His house, we're not confined to the rules of man. And we're only limited by ourselves, right? And when we see the Holy Spirit move, we need to follow the Spirit and follow the moving of the Spirit. And He's doing a wonderful work, is He not? Yeah, He's doing mighty things. So this is kind of nice. I got to stand over here and do a little happy dance. Oh yeah, because for those of you who know my, you know, I have tendencies not to stay in the same place at the same time, and I've never liked to be chained to a pulpit. You know, when I was, you know, playing music, you know, and I got the little pedals I'd always have to come through to, but I had a wireless where I would seriously, there's times I'd walk out of the building and I'd still be playing with the band. Where'd Jim go? He's outside. He'll be back. But praise God, because even the little things, like wireless microphones, even the little things, I mean, this is going to allow the Spirit, wherever the Spirit says for me to be, that's where I want to be. And it's not about me, you know, being able to, you know, well, who knows? Maybe the Spirit will say when Hazel's dancing on the ceiling and I got to go up there and join her, but I still need to teach. I can't say, hey, I can't, Hazel. You know, the Spirit's limited by a cord. No, whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Amen? So, anyhow, just kind of continuing in our format, and things, of course, once again, are a little bit different. Because usually we talked about, you know, everything's just very cut and dry. But today it's more about application. Really about applying the Word of God to our lives. And of course, you know, there's some things that we see that are quotes from the Old Testament. And, you know, I think of that passage, it says, you know, the people were looking for a sign. And in John chapter 5 and chapter 6, we see some miracles take place. We see the Sermon on the Mount, you know, where they've got the bread and the loaves that are divided. And Yeshua feeds all these people, and they keep on coming back going, hey, give us more bread. God gave our fathers manna in the wilderness. They came looking for a handout. And of course, you know, and so they tried to quote the scriptures to the Messiah to get them, you know, to basically manipulate the Messiah into, hey, you know what? We want you to give us our bread. In fact, we demand it. Give us our bread. And I kind of think of that mentality because really, what happened? Why did we have to earn bread in the first place? Why did we have to work for bread in the first place? It was because of sin. Right? And think about that. If somebody's giving you a handout, you don't have to deal with the consequences of your sin. Now, I understand there are times when handouts need to be given. Widows and orphans, God's Word says to take care of. But you know what? If someone like Richard says, you know what, Rabbi, I'm just going to quit my job at Staters because I don't feel like being there anymore. I demand that you pray that God gives me bread. I demand that you pray that God gives me food. I'd look at Richard and go, you did what? In this economy, you quit your job? Oy vey, we need to talk because you know what? That's part of the curse as men. We've got to take care of our families, right? And so they were wanting Yeshua to give them a miraculous sign without faith that would negate their sin. And that's not appropriate. That is not appropriate. You know, there's another passage here that, you know, they continued on and they were grumbling. And Yeshua said, hey, don't grumble. No one can come from me unless the Father who sends me draws him. And I will raise him to life on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and all of them will be taught by God. Everyone who has listened to the Father and has learned anything comes to me. We learn from God. That's a quote from Isaiah 54. All your sons will be taught by God. How does God teach us today? Through this, right? We learn from God, from His Word. And you know, yeah, of course, God, I know that God inspires me and God uses me. But the focus really isn't on, hey, what's the rabbi going to say? Is he going to have any funny jokes this week? Is he going to do a song and dance? What is it? Yeah. Is he going to do it? That's always my favorite. Ooh, stupid human tricks. No. What really touches people's life is an understanding of the Word of God. And many times sharing my experiences that I've had through His Word as my testimony. As a source of encouragement for you. As a source of learning for you. That's important. And you know what? And here, it's this little passage, and something I want to teach you about this, is it's not that, you know, we do learn from God, but how does Yeshua finish this passage? He said, everyone who has listened to the Father and has learned anything comes to me. The only way that we can learn anything is by coming to Jesus, by coming to Yeshua, by coming to the Messiah. He is the Word, right? He's the Torah. That's how we learn. And you know what? He's confirming His Messiahship. And I think of, wow, okay, God is the one that's going to teach. And we needed the Anointed One. We needed the confirmation of His Messiahship. And that's a fulfillment of prophecy. And I think of Genesis chapter 5. How many of you have ever looked at Genesis chapter 5? And remember looking at, you might know me, she was. I know many of you guys said, yeah, I read my Bible. I don't remember Genesis chapter 5. What was that again? And Adam begot Seth. And he lived 930 years. And Seth begot, you know, it just continues. Enosh. And Enosh lived blah, 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 blah. And had many sons and daughters. And he begot Kenan, who begot Mahalalel, who begot Jared, who begot Enoch, who begot Methuselah, oh yeah, that old guy, who begot Lamech, who begot Noah. So, Rabbi, how does Genesis chapter 5 relate to this verse you just read about God will calm down teaching, or God is the one that teaches us? When you know the meaning of those names, it makes a sentence. Adam means man. Seth means appointed. Enoch means mortal. Kenan means sorrow. Mahalalel, the blessed God. Enoch shall come down teaching. Methuselah means his death shall bring. How scary is that? Think about that for a moment. What, you know, Methuselah's dad was Enoch, who was a prophet of God, right? He was so close to God that he just one day was no more. Harpazo, he was gone, rapture, whatever. And then, but he named his son, his death will bring. I bet you, like, the villagers got really scared when, like, Methuselah had a cold. Uh-oh, is it going to happen? But think about it. How long did Methuselah live? He lived 969 years? And it was the year that Methuselah died that was the year of the flood. Doesn't that show the patience of God? They knew that God was going to do something. Now, Enoch lived, or Methuselah lived 969 years. And so, anyhow, so, and of course, Lamech means despairing, and Noah means rest. So, when you say Adam, Seth, Enosh, Kenan, Mahalalel, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech, Noah, you're really saying man is appointed mortal sorrow, but the blessed God shall come down teaching that his death shall bring the despairing rest. How can you deny the Messiahship of Yeshua knowing that his death will bring the despairing rest? How many of you just had a head explosion? Yeah. God is the one that teaches us. And we praise God for that. Now, a couple of customs and traditions I wanted to talk about this week, or actually the Holy Spirit wanted me to share with you this week. We see, first of all, there's that story right there in the beginning of John chapter 5 about the lame man who is at the pool of Bethesda. And they found the porticos there. The naysayers used to say, well, hey, that can't be true because it says that there's five columns there and we have yet to find it. Well, guess what? 30 years ago, they found it. I've been there. I have pictures and everything. Well, that's the Pool of Bethesda. And what happens? Once a year, healing came to this pool. And the first one in was healed. And so, this guy couldn't make it in. And so Yeshua is just like, oh, hey, why don't you get in? He goes, hey, somebody gets to, you know, how come you're not healed? How come you've gotten in? He's like, oh, hey, I can't get in there. I'm lame. And what did Yeshua say to him? Pick up your mat and walk. And he was healed. But how did the religious leaders respond? They responded by going, hey, you know what, Yeshua, it's Sabbath. Who are you to say that this man should pick up his mat? That's work. And I'm like, oh no, you got to be kidding me. You know, and we know, I mean, the Mishnah says that picking up your mat or walking too many steps and all of that is unlawful. God didn't write the Mishnah. God gave us the Torah. You know, it's interesting. When there's a disaster, flood, fire, whatever, come upon a synagogue, the first thing the rabbis grab, it's not the tzedakah box. It's not the Talmud. It's not the Mishnah. They grab the Torah first and get the Torah out of the building. But how sad that that's only their disaster plan. It's not their life plan. Because first, we need to look at the Torah. We need to look at the Word of God first before looking at anybody else's opinion. Because that's where the truth is at. Yeah. And so with that, it's like, oh, come on, get this lawfulness out. And we see every time that the religious leaders do things, many times it's not as a response to Messiah breaking Torah. Because what do people say? How do people who not understand this custom, what do they say? They say, hey, look, we've got the Messiah. He's over here. He's not keeping Torah. He said it's okay to break Torah. It's okay to do work on Sabbath. That's not what this passage is talking about. This is referring to the Mishnah teachings. Because remember, Jesus never broke Torah. Ever. And guess what? We're supposed to do things like be instruments of healing on the Sabbath, are we not? Yeah. If we see somebody changing a flat tire on the side of the road and it's Sabbath, of course we're going to break a sweat getting out there. And I only recommend that men do this because of safety reasons nowadays. But you know, you see grandma on the side of the road with a flat tire, we should stop and see if they need help, right? Especially on the Sabbath. Well, what are you Jews doing? You're not supposed to work on the Sabbath. I'm not working on the Sabbath. I'm here to be God's messenger of blessings and love on the Sabbath. And let's take advantage of this opportunity. Very important here. You know, another thing that we see here in John chapter 5, of course, we see Yeshua answering the religious leaders complaining about all this stuff. And how did he respond? He says, hey, my father has been working until now, and I too am working. So the Jews were trying hard to kill him. And let's listen to two reasons why. Because he was not only breaking the Sabbath, of course, according to the Mishnah and the Talmud, but he was calling God his own father, thus making himself equal with God. I don't know why people say Jesus never claimed to be God. Because when you understand the Jewish traditions and the Jewish customs and the Torah, anyone who said, I am God and wasn't God, they were to be taken out of the camp and stoned, right? And for you college students, it's not smoking weed, okay? I know. I've heard that before. Oh, yeah, they're going out of the village to get stoned, so it's okay with God to smoke pot. No, it's not. Thank you for playing. Yeah, no. They were taking him out to throw big rocks at him to kill him. Yeah, and so, think about that. And of course, their claim was invalid because Jesus never broke the Torah. because he made the claim that he was God, and that's because he was God, he is God, and he will always be God, right? Yeah. And another verse I wanted to kind of jump out and look at is a verse that talks, you know, Yeshua speaking here, and it's John 6:37. It says, "Everything the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will never turn away." And many try to say that this verse is regarding predestination. I will say to you right now, it is not. There's a group of people out there that are teaching, unless you're predestined, you aren't going to heaven. They fly under the banner of something called Calvinism. Many times they have their churches are called Reformed. The Dutch Reform is a very Calvinistic church. We had the local biggest church that's Calvinistic is Rancho Springs down in 79 South. Rancho Community? Okay, not Rancho Springs, but I think in the hospital, sorry. They do need help, right? But they teach that there's only going to be a certain number that are going to get saved. And God predestines them to get saved, and the rest of them, forget about it. And I'm sorry, but that puts a check right in my mind. It doesn't say, "For God so loved the elect that he gave his only begotten son. For God so loved the predestined that he gave his only begotten son." It says, "For God so loved the world." The world. All-inclusive. All-inclusive. Doesn't matter if you were born on the North Pole or born in the South Pole. God loves everybody. And God's word also says that God is willing that how many should perish? None should perish. If that was the case, then why would he predestine some to go to heaven and predestine others to go to hell? That negates the scriptures. That is completely wrong. That is completely wrong. And that's, they try to use this verse to say, "Hey, look, it's all about predestination." But let's put on our Jewish glasses and look at this. What's going on here and what really is being said is that even though God knows... Oh, yeah, sorry. There you go. Is that better? Even though that God knows who's going to accept the Messiah and who's not, they still have to come to Him. Right? Because if you look at even the last part of that verse, "The one who comes to me, I will never turn away." You come to the Messiah, he's not going to say, "Oh, no, sorry. Lift up the back of the shirt. No, you don't have the yellow stripe of approval, you know." No. Anybody who comes to him, he will never turn away. So this idea of predestination, they're also replacement theologists, which means that, you know, Israel is no more. It's all about the church. Which I know don't find in God's word either. But you know what? The only way that a person can truly find out if they're predestined to come to the Messiah or not is to come to Him. And we come to Him by how? By faith we come to Him. And it's not an exclusive list of people that are names are written in the book of life. But anyone, what does it say? Anyone who calls on the name of the Lord, what? Shall be saved. Bottom line. He doesn't care where you're from. He just cares where you're going to, right? And He provided the way. So I just want to talk a little bit about the applications here that we see in this thing. And these are things that we need to apply to our lives, the lessons. John 5:14, it says, "Later on, Yeshua found the sick man by the pool of Bethesda in the temple. And he told him this, 'See, you have become well. Stop sinning or something worse may happen to you.'" Many times people say, "Oh, well, you know what? I'm sick because this is a time of testing." I don't know how many times I've heard that, but yet seeing the person's lifestyle, "Oh, this is just a time of testing." But don't you think lying to everyone is wrong? "Oh, we're saved by grace. We're not under law anymore, Rabbi." What? You know, one thing that really tweezed me this week You know, finding out that someone who claims to be a believer, you know, posted that they were pregnant. And, you know, and I understand, yes, people make mistakes. That happens. It does. To believers and non-believers, a sin is a sin is a sin, right? But what really ticked me off wasn't that fact. But it was people who claim to be believers says, well, you know what? God loves you. This is a blessing from God. And don't let people judge you because of this. I'm sorry. Why don't you rip out 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and take that page out of your Bible? Yes, of course, we're to hate the sin and love the sinner. But we're not supposed to glorify them because it's okay. It drives me nuts. But sadly, it's become okay for people to live in sin. No, it's not. Yeshua says here, stop sinning or something worse is going to happen. So when people who claim to be believers say, hey, you know what? I just got caught in this little sin, but it's a little sin. Little sins are fine. It's the big ones. Ooh, murder. Wrong. Lying. Not so bad. All right? No. A sin is a sin is a sin is a sin. Stop sinning or something worse is going to happen. We need to remember that. We need to remember that. And if you have people, I know the younger generation, there's a few older Facebookers here. Yeah. But if we see something like that, we need to respond with Scripture. Hey, stop sinning or something worse is going to happen. And you who are believers who are saying that the behavior is acceptable, what planet are you from and how is that promoting the kingdom of God? Knock it off. Because if the person is continuing to live in sin and continue to glorify sin, what does God's Word say? We don't judge the outside, but on the inside, we're not even supposed to fellowship with them. Don't even have a meal with them. Hey, what harm is it in having something to eat? Well, eating, and you got to remember, eating is the highest form of fellowship. We've got to shun these people. Now, of course, if someone's caught in a sin and they're willing to be restored, then Baruch Hashem, right? But if they're living in that perpetual sin, we've got to cut them off. And I don't know about you, but as I learn more and more about deliverance, I don't want people living in sin around me because they're always trying to put something spiritually on me. I don't want to carry that stuff anymore. The blood of the Messiah has made me clean. Why are you trying to burden me down and distract me? Because I want to focus on doing God's work. I'm not going to pick up your burden. Yeah, we need to remember that as believers. That's interesting here. There's two things about sin. There's the sin of commission. You know, lying, cheating, stealing, murdering, idolatry. There's 10 of them, right? We know of them. But there's also the sin of omission. Which means, hey, I know that God wants me to do something, but I'm not going to do it. Isn't this, so how many of you have had parents in your life? How many of you have ever had a mom or a dad? Okay, no one here was hatched? Okay, Dave. So, when we did the things that our parents wanted us to do, weren't they happy? Little Davey, clean your room, make your bed, dump the trash. But when you didn't do that, they were angry, right? You've done wrong, little Davy. But there were other things I'm sure your mom didn't want you to do. Yeah. So, you got to do the things that God wants you to do, and you got to not do the things that God... Let's see if I get this right. Do the things that God wants you to do and not do the things that God doesn't want you to do. Did that come out straight? Okay, good. I didn't have a lot of coffee this morning, so my brain's still kind of foggy. Praise God, he's working, right? And you know what? We see this passage. We've got the sin part. But we now see this passage talking about eating and drinking. And there's an application there as well. Eating and drinking really refers to consuming the Torah and doing good works according to the rabbinical studies of Ecclesiastes. Did you guys know that? When he says, eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, in rabbinical teaching, he's really saying, consuming the Word of God and doing the good stuff that it says to do. That's what it's about. So, eating his flesh means that humanity, we as humanity, are consuming the Torah for spiritual life, for spiritual health, and for spiritual fitness. You know, and I know I said this before, but I'll say it again. I like what my Sky Stanger used to say. It says, you know, 7 days without the Word of God makes 1 week. Yeah. It's true. 7 days without the Word of God. Well, think about this. I know it might help my waistline, but going 7 days without food usually is not pleasant, isn't it? So we could starve our physical body and cause problems. But how much more can we starve ourselves spiritually if we're not in the Word of God every day? And you know what? We shouldn't be doing something stupid. You know, it's kind of funny. We were kind of chuckling about one of the passages in the discipleship material that we're teaching right now. And it compares reading the Word of God to eating a meal. Some people are like, oh no, I missed my Bible reading this week. Oh, well, that's it. I guess I'll never read the Bible again. And that's stupid, because we liken that to say, oh man, I skipped breakfast this morning. I guess I'm never going to eat again. But the two are exactly the same, right? You guys see kind of a... So you missed your Bible reading in the morning. Pick it up at lunchtime. You know? And there's been some days it's just like, I usually try to hit my prayers that I can read my Bible both day and night, because there's promises of blessing from Joshua chapter 1. You meditate on God's Word day and night. I really strive to read His Word day and night. And trust me, there's some mornings where the kids are just, you know, I mean, turn around and look at what my daughter's doing right now to my son, trying to pick up a baton and drag him across the floor. Sometimes I wake up to that, and how hard is it to get in the Word of God when I got that going, right? Yeah, but you know what? God still wants us to find a time to get together and consume His words and drink His blood, which means doing the good work of sharing the cleansing, healing, and delivering power of the blood of Messiah. You know, I think of that old hymn, there is power, power, wonder-working power. In what? In the blood of the Lamb. Diane's singing in her head right now. Yeah. Yeah, what a great Baptist hymn, right, Dave? Yeah. There's power in the blood. Let's drink in the good works of the Messiah, and let's go out and share the blood of the Messiah, because there's power there. There's cleansing there. There's deliverance there. Nothing else can do that but the blood of the Messiah. So, I got a question here. What are you doing to consume as much Torah as possible? What are you doing? Joshua 1, 7 and 8. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the Torah which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the left or to the right, so that you may have success wherever you go. Don't turn from the words of God, and you will have success wherever you go. And it goes on to say that this book, this scroll, the Torah, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate upon it when? Day and night. Is the sun up? Yes. Meditate on Torah. Is the sun down? Yes. Meditate on Torah. So that you may do what? Be careful to do according to... Oh, a couple of things that are written in it. I don't know about all 10 of those commandments, Rabbi, but you know, 7 out of 10, that's a passing grade, right? I'm going to skate with 6. No, it says, be careful to do according to, the word is call, all. Right? Call means it, in totality. Be careful to do all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous and you will have success. Do you want prosperity in your life? And this isn't saying if I read the Word of God, He's going to get me that Ferrari that I've been dreaming about. If I read the Word of God, He's going to get me that 60-foot sailboat. If I read the Word of God, He's not going to give me that Piper Aztec. Twin-engine airplane. But what it is saying is that we will be prosperous in the ways of God. Where we lay up our treasures in heaven, where moth and rust cannot destroy, right? We will have success. What type of success is He talking about? We will have spiritual success. We will be leading people to the Lord. We'll be out there discipling people. We'll be a part of the deliverance ministry. And isn't that really what it's all about? If we as a synagogue are not doing those three things, we are not going to be prosperous and we're not going to be successful in the kingdom of God. And God has shown me through His Word, we just read it, that He wants to bless each and every one of you. Consume the Word of God. Eat it up. Drink in the good deeds, doing the evangelism, the discipleship, and the deliverance. If it's daytime, hey, I'm going to think about God's Word. Yeah, I'm here at work pushing this lawnmower. Well, you know what? Pushing a lawnmower is pretty easy. You just got to make sure you cut the tall grass and leave the short grass. Don't go over it again, right? Am I right there, Bill, on that one? Okay. Oh, God made grass. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Look at that bird. Wow. Their bones are hollow, so they can... rock. Oops. Their bones are hollow. I won't look at the bird. But you think about the Word of God. Oh, hey, there's my competition across the street. Curse you, cop! No. No. We may be competitors in business, but God will supply my needs according to His riches and glory. I need to pray for that guy that he becomes a believer. You know, we'll start off about talking about lawnmowers. Hey, how's that Briggs and Stratton working out for you? That's pretty good. How's that Honda? Well, you know, interesting. They work. Praise God. He provided for this. Oh, you mentioned God. You're religious. Well, it's not religion. It's relationship. What about you? Do you have any spiritual beliefs? See how easy it was to get to that first qualifying question in evangelism. And then you let them talk. But it all starts eating it up and drinking it down. How many of you like to eat and drink? Some of us more than others. Yeah, in case of a water landing, your rabbi can be used as a flotation device. Just saying that now. But praise God that even though I'm working on getting the fat away physically, I want to be fat as far as the Word of God is concerned. I want to be fat. I want to be drunk on the Spirit. Not out of control, but I want to be drunk, going out there doing good deeds where the world looks at me and says, "You're a fool." But you know what? That's fine. Because God says we can be foolish guys to confound the wise, right? They don't get it. That's okay. As long as God gets it, we're doing what He wants. That's what He wants us to do. And you know, I think of consuming the Torah. I kind of wrote an equation here in my notes. Consuming the Torah equals meticulously doing what it says to do. And notice that word I use, meticulous. Every detail, doing it. Plus, speaking of it as much as possible. Plus, meditating upon it day and night. You know, and something that the Lord showed me a while back, and I did it a couple of years ago, and I started doing it again. I have two bookmarks in my Bible.
And when I start my reading in the morning, both bookmarks are in the same spot. And when I finish my reading in the morning, I put one bookmark where I ended. And then when I read later on that evening, I go back to that first bookmark, and that's where I start again. And I put the second bookmark. I read all the way till I hit the second bookmark, and I put both of them together. So that way, I read a section of the Word of God in the morning, I come back, I read that same section again the next morning. Come back and do it again. Come back and do it again. And when I committed to doing this, not only did I read the Bible through 2 times in 1 year, because I try to read the Bible each year, but I remembered so much more because I was reviewing it in my mind. And then I was applying it, right? Hey, I read this. I better go out and do it. Can I do this today? Well, yes, I can. I can do all things through the Messiah who gives me strength. I'm going to eat the Word of God. I'm going to think about that great meal. I'm going to go out and I'm going to share that great meal today. I'm going to apply that great meal and allow the good stuff that I've eaten to make my body spiritually stronger, to make my body more spiritually fit, to make my body, my spiritual body, in the peak performance condition so I can go out there and do the work that God wants me to do. Oh, and today, did I do it? Yeah. Or sometimes, oops. But regardless, if it's a yeah or an oops day, there's always next time, right? Oh, I didn't do it. I guess I better not apply the Word of God anymore. No. There's next day. I'm going to look for 2 things to do maybe the next day. I've got to do makeup exam, right? Yeah, God allows second chances. God allows these things. Now my next question here is, what are you doing to drink His blood and do the good works? I love these next 3 verses. And sadly, people only start after they stop and they don't read the 3rd verse that I'm going to read. And this is from Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. It says, "For by such grace you have been saved through faith. This does not come from you. It's a gift from God, not as a result of works, lest anyone can brag about it." And then they always miss the next verse. "For we are His masterpiece, created in the Messiah Yeshua for good works that God prepared long ago to be our way of life." Why do people just stop at grace? Why can't they go to that next verse? We are saved by grace, yes. Yes, it's nothing we can do to earn it, to deserve it, to work for it. Yes, that's true. But once we are saved, we are created to do the good stuff that God wants us to do that He has prepared beforehand. Think about that. That means that God's already done it. You just need to show up and be there and be a part of it. How many of you would like a job where your boss says, "Hey, I need you to be here. There's some work happening." And you show up to the location. He does all the work for you. You just have to be there. Then after it's all done, he says, "Here you go. Here's your reward. Here's your paycheck. Thanks for showing up today." How many of you want a job like that? Yeah, now some of us who are ADD, no, we got to do something, man. We got to do something. It's freaking me out. Yeah. But you know what? That's the world system, right? You show up, you do a job, you get paid. That's God's system while we're here on earth. That's how we feed our families and ourselves, right? But spiritually speaking, He wants us to show up and be a part of what He's doing spiritually. And many times things like this happen at work. You'd be surprised about how many times I've heard Bill tell me a great story about how he works in a public institution where there's a huge moniker, separation of church and state, and the two shall never meet, be on the same block, be on the same corner, be in the same county. And yet people come into his office and say, "Hey, you know, can I talk to you?" And they close the door. "I need you to pray for me. I'm really going through a rough time." So it's kind of nice. Bill's job, God has him in place. Not only get a paycheck and take care of his family, but also in place to minister to the needs of the people that are there. That's why others of us, sometimes we have jobs we can't stand, but we go to faithfully. I had a job that I couldn't stand, but I went to faithfully. And I found out when I was being laid off, a couple weeks before I was being laid off, that my manager specifically was trying to get rid of me. He was really offended that a Messianic Jew and an evangelical Christian were meeting in the office next door to him for prayer every morning. And he was so offended that he went to the owners of the company, and the owners of the company says, "Great, this company needs a lot of prayer. Maybe we'll join them." And I needed to be at that so I can pray with my brother every day, because my brother had a lot of questions. And if I didn't go to this job and didn't tarry in that and just keep going and not give up and not quit, I wouldn't have been able to get to know Mike Mathis, which many of you know, the computer, the guy who works on many of your guys' computers. If I would have just said, "Hey, I'm done." But we had a chance to pray with each other and to bless each other. Praise God. And to share the gospel with this Catholic. Hopefully one day he gets it. And yes, because Mike had the keys to all the offices because it was a computer job, we did anoint his office. We snuck, "He's not here, let's get the anointing oil, let's go around." Yeah. Of course we're not out there, you know, with the big bottle going. Sneak a little bit on the hand underneath the desk, just going. Just put it on the doorknob. Pray against the things that are there, pray that he gets saved. Because really, what's the best cure for horrible bosses? For them to become believers. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And so, really, it's after we are saved by grace, our job is to go out and drink up the good works that God wants each and every one of us to do. If you're saved by grace, you're not doing kingdom work, you're not drinking like God wants you. God wants you to have a drinking problem. Think about that. God wants you to have a drinking problem. And we're not talking about getting drunk, but we're talking about drinking in his good works. Amen? And I'm going to close with this last verse. This is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Starting in verse 18, it says, "All this comes from God, who has reconciled us to himself through the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And he has given us the ministry of reconciliation." Us. We have the ministry of reconciliation. For in Messiah, God reconciled the world to himself by not counting, well, it says their sins, but really, let's personally apply it. He reconciled us to him by not counting our sins against him, right? Yeah. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We have steps to be at peace with God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with our God through our Lord Yeshua HaMashiach, through our Lord Jesus Christ, right? Yeah, we have peace with God. And it says, therefore, we are the Messiah's representatives. You're God's ambassadors. As though God were pleading through us, we plead on the Messiah's behalf. Be reconciled to God. That is our message. Be reconciled to God. Eat it up. Drink it up. Be reconciled to God. How? You know, I can't help but think of Jonah. One of my daughter's favorite stories, by the way. She loves the VeggieTale version of it. And how, you know, we know the story of Jonah. God told him, "I want you to go to Nineveh." And he says, "What's the other direction?" And he goes there. But God gets him back to where he should be. Using a sea creature, a fish, there's some debate about that. But whatever thing in the ocean that God used, it was enough to get the Ninevites' attention because they worshipped a fish god. And you know, Jonah didn't like those Assyrians. Those Assyrians, militarily, brutal. if they captured you as their prisoner, they would put fish hooks in your lips and through other sensitive areas and lead you off into captivity. Oh yeah, very painful. And I'm sure Jonah had friends that had been led into captivity because the Assyrians kept on coming and getting another round of Jews and another round of Jews out of Israel, right? And so, we kind of talk about this. You talk about what Jonah's message was. Because I'm sure that Jonah, one, he was reluctant to go there. Once he got there, he says, okay, I'll do what God wants me to do. And of course, he didn't have the right attitude. We read that in chapter 4, right? But he walked the city of Nineveh for 3 days. And what was his message? Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. I probably put his to lead on. Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. Are you happy? I'm doing it. Repent. Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. Even though his delivery was horrible, what happened to Nineveh? They all became believers. And it wasn't until 100 years later that they slipped back into sin, and that generation didn't repent, right? We read that in the prophets. And so, that really is our message. Be reconciled to God. Be obedient. Sometimes we don't want to. Sometimes we don't feel like it. God doesn't care. But these people, they were bad to me. They hurt my friends. God doesn't care. Because He wants them to be part of His family. Right? That's what it's all about. And that needs to be our message. Be reconciled to God. So I have a challenge. And here's the challenge portion today. Just 3 questions I want to ask. First thing here is just kind of reflecting. I wrote in my note that some need to give up other things on Sabbath so they can focus on God. What is it that you need to give up to God first? Or to God, so He becomes first in your life. I'm amazed at all the lame excuses I've heard over the summer about why I'm not going to be at synagogue on Sabbath. And I've heard some legitimate things, so brother, don't. I know you've got county pressures. If you don't get that stuff off your property, we're going to bulldoze the whole thing now. Yeah, I understand that. But when you can, you're here. But man, I've heard of some really stupid excuses. Well, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'm sorry, my cat needs to take a bath today. I need to stay home and wash him. What? Well, I would love to, but, you see, and once they start giving the excuse, Dave, aren't they usually wrong already? They start, usually I can tell when somebody's fishing and they know they shouldn't be, they know that they're doing something wrong. It's like, hey, Rabbi, good to see you again. Oh, I just, I'm like, okay, what's coming up next? Well, I'm really going through, I'm trying to make this rough decision and there's just a really good chance that, the lead fell off one of my tires. And it's a little out of balance, and so I've got a choice to make, Rabbi. I can either go to the party on Friday night, or I can come to synagogue on Sabbath. And you know what? I just want to go to the party. Yeah, Hazel's cracking. You've heard crap like this, haven't you? Dave, you've heard excuses. Bill, I'm sure you've heard excuses like that. Well, you don't understand, Rabbi. I usually go to bed at 9 on Friday night so I could be at Sabbath on time, and I was late. I got to bed at 9:05. It interrupted my sleep schedule. Wow. What's that verse that Dave quoted to us this morning? Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Because usually when the person has an excuse, and they have another excuse the next week, and another excuse the next week, it never fails. About 2 or 3 months go by, and then they get we get the phone call. Rabbi, pray for me. Why? I'm really going through a tough time right now. Where's God when I need Him? Well, where were you when God said to be here? Stop sinning so nothing worse will happen to you, and be reconciled to God. Yeah. Bottom line. The next thing, some of us here are not consuming enough of His Word, and we're not receiving the blessings that He has for us. I know that there's somebody here who needs prayer for that, and we'll deal with that in a minute. And of course, the third obstacle we're seeing is others are refusing to drink up the good works that God wants them to do. I remember one time we had this this lady. And I'll never forget. I won't say her name because just by the odd chance that somebody might know her. But I mean, every night, sometimes 2 or 3 times a night, she would call up my parents. I'm going through a rough time. Yeah? And it was always, seriously, you could hit a tape recorder and record it from the night before. And hit play, and it would probably sync up with the exact same words, the exact same drama, the exact same thing. But one thing in my experience that I figured out is that when my focus upon doing the things of God, I don't get all tweezed when something's not going my way. And it happens. How many of you were under attack this week? We already talked about it. I think I saw even a foot going up. Yeah, exactly. There's nothing new under the sun, right? Yeah. But let's not let these things have us lose our focus. They become a distraction. Then we have the obstacles, right? Then we have the attacks. Well, guess what? The adversary wants us to do those, get on that bandwagon. He wants us distracted from doing the good works. And what do we start with? He starts with emotional stuff. He starts with the drama. He starts with the distraction. Uh-oh, the lead weight fell off my tire. And this comes the obstacle. Well, it might be a little out of balance. Well, enjoy the bumpy ride, you know? And cars nowadays, it's usually not that big of a deal. It's not like it was 30 years ago. We're out of balance. Yeah. Forget about the distractions. Don't let it become an obstacle. Don't let it turn into an assault on what the adversary is doing. Because God has blessings for you. You need to show up and just be there. Need to show up and be there. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. You know, as we think about these things and these challenges, some of you have lost your focus. You're not seeking first the kingdom of God. If that's you, I'm going to want to pray for you. Some of you might not be consuming enough of God's Word. Rabbi, I want more of God's Word. Pray for me. Or some of you are struggling with sharing the things that the Messiah wants you to share. You might be under attack. Rabbi, pray for me, I've been under attack. Any of these things, if you've been under attack, you're struggling with reading the Word of God, God's not a priority, you're not drinking up the good works, you've got problems that are becoming kind of a distraction and you need some prayer. Any of those things, I want to pray for you. Just lift your hand up and say, pray for me, Rabbi. God bless you. God bless you. My hand's up. Yeah. Praise God. We've all been going through it. We all have been going through it. Father, I lift up my brothers and sisters to you right now. And Lord, more importantly, besides seeing the hands, Lord, you know the hearts. You know the hearts. And so, Lord, I just ask, Lord, whatever my brothers and sisters need, if it's strength to quit doing the things that they know that they shouldn't be doing, Lord, then give them strength to do that. Lord, if they're not getting enough of your word, Lord, give them an opportunity to carve out some time. Maybe watch one less TV show. Do one less thing, Lord. Whatever it is, Lord. Maybe there's some distractions out there that are keeping them from drinking in the good works. Lord, I ask for a change of focus. Lord, for my brothers and sisters that have been getting attacked, Lord. Lord, I say to the spirits that are lined up against them, the Lord rebuke you. You have no authority here. And I pray the blood of the Messiah over my brothers and sisters. Because no weapon formed against them shall prosper according to your word, and I thank you for that. Lord, if there's anyone who's struggling with anything sin-wise, I just ask, Lord, that you just as we worship, may they just, if they got something they need to confess and get right with you, may they leave this place delivered and reconciled to you today, Lord. If there's a healing that is needed, Lord, I pray for that healing as a reminder to them not to sin anymore. Whatever my brothers and sisters need this morning, Lord, I just ask that you move upon them as they lay their burdens down before you. That you'll lift up your countenance to them. Lift them up, Lord, today. If you have anything you need to confess to God, just do it right now. You haven't been spending enough time with them? Confess that to Him and ask Him to help you with that right now. You haven't been doing the things that God wants you to do? Come on in, the water's fine. Be part of the kingdom work. Receive the blessings that God wants for you. He's doing the work ahead of time. You just need to show up. Commit to doing that today for Him and with Him.
Thank you.
this morning that we be the generation that seeks your face, Lord. Elohei Abraham, Elohei Yitzhak, Elohei Yaakov, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we seek your face this morning. We seek your face. Amen. Well, let's go ahead and have everybody stand and come forward. As we, for the Aaronic benediction and for the start of Oneg. Together. Our God and the God of our forefathers, bless us with the three-verse blessing in the Torah that was written by the hand of Moses, your servant, that was said by Aaron and his sons, the Kohanim, your holy people, as it is said, Yevarecha Hashem Bayishmerecha. Ya'er Hashem Penevalecha Vichuneka. Yisa Hashem Penevalecha Vayasem Lecha Shalom. May Hashem bless you and safeguard you.
So may it be.
May Hashem illuminate his countenance for you and be gracious to you.
So may it be.
May Hashem turn his countenance to you and establish peace for you.
So may it be.
B'shem Yeshua Meshekenu Baruch Haba B'shem Adonai, in the name of Jesus the Messiah, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, this is our time of Oneg. Don't you just love that the Sabbath is the first day that we're supposed to have a feast with God? God says, hey, I want you to have a festival. Now for the under 40 crowd, God wants you to come over for a barbecue and a party. And so the bread that we have here is challah, it's festival bread, it's not communion bread. We celebrate communion during the Feast of Unleavened Bread, right? That's communion week for us. But this is festival bread. So let me encourage each and every one of you, as we eat the bread, let's be reminded of eating the bread and being festive with God through His Word and festive with God with what we eat. Amen? And I'm going to ask if Pastor Hatcher would go ahead and unwrap that. It's, is that yesterday? This is day-old bread.
It's fresh.
That doesn't mean day-expired bread. It means it was made yesterday. Yes. So don't follow the rabbi's Atkins example. Take a hazel portion. There you go, Barb. Barb sat in the stander there. Yes. Because we really need to feast on the Word of God, meticulously. Amen? Alright, well, let's go ahead and sing our blessing together. Baruch atah Hashem, Eloheinu melech haolam, amotzi lechem min haaretz. Amen. In English, blessed are you, Hashem our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. Amen. Now, depending upon your preference, the darker is usually grape juice and the lighter is usually wine. Is that correct there? Or is it the, yeah, just smell it. Okay, the wine is on his left, the grape juice is on his right. Yeah, I was in my cupboard this morning. I'm like, I just need to take that back to the synagogue. So, reached out. Oh. Barb, I'll figure it out. Not a big deal.
Oh, wow.
All right. let's go ahead and sing our blessing together. Baruch Atah Hashem, Eloheinu Melech Haolam, Borei Pri Hagafen. Amen. In English, blessed are you, Hashem our God, King of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine. Amen. Well, we're looking forward to having a little party today and celebration of Dave's birthday. So if you can stick around for that, we'd encourage you to... And Diane needs to share something.
I don't like that word assume, but I assume you all know that we call latex balloons demon membranes.
And I have a severe allergic reaction to them. And Barbara's going to buy balloons for Dave.
Mylar.
Okay.
So it would be really wonderful if you never bring latex balloons. Because if I walk up and see them, I'm going to be. And
we want Diane to stay. So.
I'm afraid for a blessing that is quite going to be healed. I haven't had a time to show up in 3 years. One from avoidance and. I didn't mean to interrupt that, but when you said celebration, that piece, and a few people were going, really? I don't know, really?
Yeah.
I assumed everybody knew my situation. I didn't know that.
Amen. So, let's go ahead and just a reminder to come forward and sign up for Marriage Live or for discipleship and evangelism. Dave does have the spiritual gift of prodding with his finger. So if you feel a stick in your side, you know that's Dave. But let's go ahead and sing and then we'll be dismissed. And I would encourage you to stay in fellowship and have a nosh. So Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat 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 Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. God bless you. Be blessed. And if everyone hasn't got a chance to meet Matt, careful. He's got a great sense of humor. So you will laugh. So be sure to introduce yourself. And there's more stuff here.
Well, I don't like to pray. But
just making an observation. It's all I do.
It's actually a different observation than my family. I usually get them groaning.
Well, just remember, you can pick your friends, but you're stuck with your relatives. Trust me, there's times I'll go on a bit and my wife will be like this. Here he goes again.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I'm one of 8 siblings.
Remind me to get the music next week. I've got it at home. See, I'm only allowed to miss one chord per song, and if I did that without music, I'd miss two.
Recording. The hold button must be on.